morning, still. My presentation is a little bit different than some of the ones in this session, but it's really speaking to this soil measurement that we refer to as soil electrical conductivity. And the specific question that we have relates to this measurement and what we can do with it to kind of make it more standardized. So there's two primary different sensors that are being used to get this measurement. There's a direct contact type sensor like the Veris Technologies produces, and then there's so electrical or electromagnetic induction sensors that are out there. I'm just kind of actually kind of curious. It's been around for about 25 years. Dr. Ken Seddeth and myself have been playing around with this sensor quite a bit, I'm curious how many in the room have done much with soil electrical conductivity. Just raise your hand if you have. It's always fun to kind of see. Okay, so at least about half in the room. So it's an amazingly good sensor to be able to look at variation in of soil resource within some area, a field. The challenge with it is there's a number of different soil physical and chemical characteristics that vary or that impact that measurement. It's a measurement that you're essentially getting a kind of a profile measurement of the soil whole profile, but it gives you one number. And it's broadly been used for crop and soil management in the area of precision agriculture. There's been a number of things that have been kind of developed out of this using this sensor information. But the real challenge is that this measurement, observation measurement, changes over time. It changes because of soil moisture primarily, but also soil temperature can affect it, and some management effects like tillage. So if you've got something that you want to use, and you want to use it over multiple fields, and yet you've got temporally variable factors such as what's listed on this slide, it's really hard to say, how do I relate what the survey information, sensor survey information I took on this one field and relate it to something on another field that was surveyed at a different date? Maybe fields that are adjacent to each other. But if they're done on different dates, then how do I kind of bring that data back together? So there's this kind of a need to be able to normalize or standardize that type of thing together. So an example here, here's a field, and this field has three different soil EC surveys, but it has a common color legend here. So you can see on the bottom one, a much higher shift in those EC surveys than the one in the middle, and then the one on top is kind of intermediate between the two. And these are just all three different dates of the same field. So the objective then was to develop methods for adjusting distributions of EC from multiple surveys to account for differences in environmental conditions. And so we have several fields that we did this on. We have multiple years that we've done soil EC surveys on those fields. We used the Veris 3100 for this particular analysis. There's just a description of how we prepared the data and brought it together. I'm just going to kind of move on. So the first thing, and it shows the same field that we just had showed a few seconds ago, and the three dates of 1997, 99, and 2001, and you can see that the patterns between these three dates are very, very much there. But if you look at the means, you can see there's a huge difference in the means and also really in the standard deviation. And again, the big difference has to do with water on these clay pan soil fields. There's actually 4 years here, but we're looking at 1997. You can see it was done in the fall. This is the time of sensing, and it had some rain prior to that. 1999 was in the fall, about the same time of the year, but it was a much drier conditions. And then the third one that we're looking at here in this comparison is 2001. It was done in the spring, following a recharge of the winter. So three very contrasting kind of conditions that come up with these different surveys. It's instructive to look at the distributions of the observations from these different surveys. And as you look at those, you can see that there's some similarities. There's kind of a two-peak in those distributions of observations from the different surveys. But the thing you see is two things. You see that the data is offset a little bit, and it's stretched. So there's a kind of an offset stretch in the distribution of data between these. And so we sit there and look at this type of data, and we think there's got to be a way to use this to really kind of come and standardize it. The other field that we have, again, same kind of thing. This is a field we call field one. Not so much difference between those different dates, but still there's differences and there's similarities in the distributions of these observations, some similarities between the dates, and you would kind of expect that. So the first question is, and kind of in the results, is can you take observations, this is 1997, and could you take it and regress it against another year and just come up with a simple linear regression and kind of transform it? And it works really quite well. So what you're seeing here is the taking the 1999 after it's been transformed to 1997 equivalent, and you can see now that it looks very similar. And this is the 2001 transformed with a fairly small root mean square error. Again, so to kind of help you back up on that. Where's the page back? Page up. So this is the 99 survey. This is the 2001 survey. This is the 1997 survey. So after the regression, this then gets changed to look like this, and we're comparing it with this up here. And this gets all the way changed so it looks like this. So again, we're just using some visuals here, but it really does allow you then to say, hey, we can do that with a pretty simple linear regression type procedure. So the second thing would be we looked at these distributions. Again, pretty simple approach, but simplicity sometimes has its beauty. And you look at these distributions of these different dates, and again you see kind of a shift, and you see or kind of an offset, and you also see a stretch. So we looked at a number of different statistical statistics, and kind of said, can we use that really then to create this normalization procedure? And indeed, we found that there's a couple things that really simply can be done and done quite easily. And we use the mean, which is kind of that the difference between the mean of the 1 year, the 1997, and the mean of the other. So there's that's the offset. And then we look at the 10 to 90% range, and we essentially just kind of take that range that was in 1997, and we take it and we bring it back and use that stretch as a ratio of those two to kind of bring it back in alignment with each other. So when you do that, here is, again, the original. Here's the two regression that we had already looked at. But when we use this offset stretch normalization procedure, a distribution-based procedure, again, we can come up with surveys that look very similar to. I'm not showing the root mean square errors, but they're very similar to the regression. Something happened there. It jumped way down. I get back down to where I was at. So then the final kind of step in this was, could we take this distribution approach where you have an offset shift or stretch kind of a shift in that distribution of data that we found on one field and actually apply it to a second field? So this is really kind of pushing the boundaries in terms of what we might do here. But we want to be able, again, the end product, what we're looking for is to be able to create databases of EC surveys over a lot of different fields. And the only way you can start to aggregate that data is go through some kind of a standardization and get them to where they kind of mean the same thing. And so we took that and we did that and took the Gavello information distribution approach to the other field. And so in this one, here's the 97, so this is the original. This is the 99. The regression approach works relatively well of doing that within the field, like it was on the Gavello field. The distribution approach, again, we're comparing this to this one over here. It actually wasn't too bad, but we actually get a little bit of a change there that we're trying to figure out why that was the case on that field. But you do get a somewhat similar standard error. And then the third one is that taking the on the far right, it's taking the 1999 original and actually going through that distribution approach, and you end up with something that looks quite a bit different, and you can see the standard error almost doubles. And the reason for that is pretty straightforward. If you knew these two fields, you know that there's a lot more variation within the Gavello field than the field one field. And so if you're using a distribution offset shift stretch kind of information and taking that to another field and stretching it on a field that doesn't have as much variation, then you're going to exaggerate the variation in that standardization procedure. So this is a work in progress. We're definitely coming up with some what we feel are some really good options of being able to take these soil EC surveys and kind of get them to where they're normalized in a way to where we can aggregate data over not just two adjacent fields, but over farms and even larger regions. Because if we're going to use EC as a part of helping us to be able to model, to be able to make management decisions, we really have to be able to get it to where an EC value on one field somewhat is relatable to what you might have on another field. So, conclusion, standardization of the soil EC surveys taken from fields with similar soils but at different survey times is doable. We demonstrated that, helping to remove some of that temporal nature of the data. Over many fields, the ideal would be to identify stretch and slide features with classified soils so that you could kind of use the current soils database like Surgo and actually use that to help you to populate bigger areas. The standardization information may be valuable for estimating mapping profile soil water. So the differences you have is driven mostly by soil water. So can we use the information that we get in that regression or the stretch shift approach to actually be able to model plant available water capacity of a field? I think it's very doable there. The final thing would be that standardization techniques might also be applied to surveys taken from different soil EC instruments. For example, as I mentioned, there's you've got the Coulter Veris one on the one side and the electronic or a Dulum sensor, electromagnetic induction sensor there, and they have different engineering in them to be able to give you that soil EC, but maybe this standardization procedure can also be used to kind of compile fields that have to do different sensors to get that survey. So with that, thank you.
Very interesting paper. I just wondered, are temporal changes in EC distribution from one year to the next in a given field? And you mentioned there are three factors, soil moisture, temperature, and management.
Right.
And by the way, what management factor?
Probably tillage would be the tillage. Whether it has been tilled recently or not. So you're kind of, as you till a field, you're obviously going to put some air in that soil. You're breaking up some of that contact between the soil particles, and that's going to lower your soil EC values.
You didn't mention salinity, but you're here.
We don't have salinity in our soils. I just ignore that. salinity too, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good...
Could you use those physical factors to get an
Probably. I think you could. I think you could use the weather, model the weather, and maybe temperature, then to do a correction on your standardization. And now, I will add, too, that these particular soils are extremely wonderful soils to do EC testing on. These are clay pan soils, and within these fields you have a very high clay content, clay pan, that's on the order of 50 to 60% montmorillonitic clay. And it varies tremendously within the field. In some areas of the field, you may have only a couple, centimeters really, of topsoil before you hit that clay pan, or it actually may be tilled right into the surface. In other areas of the field, it could be that it's 60, 75, 90 centimeters below the soil surface. So you've got an undulating clay pan, and that clay pan is driving it. And in the past, what we have done, when we do a soil EC survey, we do some profile measurements, and we standardize it by locking it in on that depth to that clay pan horizon. That's not a changing variable. That's going to stay pretty much the same for decades and decades. And so we, in the past, for our purposes, have standardized it to that soil property. But what we want to be able to do is come up with standardization methods we can take in other kind of soils that may not have this really unique feature that allows us to be able to do that standardization too. And not all soils have this really kind of... So using weather information might... That's right. Right. And so
the result of the star moisture ordering is different. So in fact.
Yeah.
So what you really is there a physical way again of going from scaling from one side to the next?
And I think that's the next step. You know, whether you're in Iowa or North Dakota or Colorado or wherever you may be, it's really to kind of come up with a robust standardization procedure that allows you to create data sets that can be aggregated. How can you aggregate and put meaning to soil EC unless you can standardize it first? So that's the first challenge. So we had to go.
So currently, you say you have a lot of news for
this and that.
Like
but I think it's interesting. I mean,
yeah, I noticed lots of aggregate in there. And Ron used those data to apply it.
There's obviously a lot of interest in being able to measure and quantify and map the soil resource. And we, a long time ago, said the best way is not by sampling and a deep profile and taking it to the lab and trying to do it that way. We've got to figure out other ways to do that, digital soil map methods to be able to create databases that capture that variability that exists within fields. And soil EC is a great instrument. It's unfortunate that it's affected by, if you're measuring these chemical and physical characteristics, but a big input into that is the soil moisture, you've got to figure out a way to get past the soil moisture if you want to aggregate. On the other hand, back to your question, or one of the points there, if what you're interested in is really understanding the variation in soil moisture within the field over time, maybe at the beginning of the season, the end of the season, and see how that looks, and to see how it's depleted through the profile, that's a specific question that the standardization kind of can use almost in an analytical sense to be able to come up with a quantitative measure of soil water. So, I mean, there's lots of things that can be done. I don't think we're even beginning to capture the value out of soil electrical conductivity. I think that's maybe the take home.
Yeah, that's cool. So we have a variance. We have a lot of things that I always have a question in my mind.
how to use those data for the management. You know, we can establish correlation between any factors. Yeah, maybe it's so that's what you know.